Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
All right, guys, I'm going to read our scriptures. Also, Happy New Year. Also, hi, I'm Lauren. Okay. Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Timothy 4, 13 through 16, and we're going to read in the Message version. Teach believers with your life, by word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, by integrity. Stay at your post reading scripture, giving counsel, teaching. In that special gift of ministry you were given when the leaders of the church laid hands on you and prayed, keep that dusted off and in use. Cultivate these things. Immerse yourself in them. The people will all see you mature right before their eyes. Keep a firm grasp on both your character and your teaching. Don't be diverted. Just keep at it. Both you and those who hear you will experience salvation.
Happy New Year. It's great to see everyone in the space. I know last week we were online, so it's really good to see everyone's faces. And like Andre said, you do look rested. Gosh, what a difference a couple of weeks make. So Merry Christmas for those of you who I've not seen, and then Happy New Year to all. And then also yesterday was January the 7th. So for the Orthodox calendar, January 7th is Christmas. So in lieu of that celebration, I'm wearing Christmas socks, and today I feel like it's the last day I can pull that off. So then starting tomorrow is just boring normal socks after that. So today we are looking at the topic of authenticity, and it's not easy, it appears. This topic is not easy. I will attempt to show us what the way of authenticity is in the Lord. And, you know, when it comes to practice, I think we'll need a full year to keep practicing living authentically for Jesus and with Jesus. So as Lauren read to us, and many of you may not be familiar with the Message version of the Bible, it breaks down the text a little bit different. So it doesn't really say anything differently than the NIV would or whatnot. It's just the phrasing I really liked in the Message version today. And, you know, primarily this text is addressed to the teachers, people like myself and people like Pastor Ellis. But as I was reading Hebrews this past week, it reminded me that at some point we're all to become teachers. Not like the classic version of, you know, teaching the scripture from the pulpit here, but in your daily lives, you are all to become teachers. You are all to portray the image of Jesus to those around you, whether it's family, whether it's school, work, community, what have you. And then also, you are to learn those things that you are to teach. So it's, let's get back to the basics. Let's fundamentalize the basics, and let's move forward to more complex issues and to learn more about the Lord and then to teach more about the Lord. So it's not just on Pastor Ellis and myself and other teachers and pastors you may listen to online and follow. It is on you as well. So with that, this text today that we have read is addressed to you, so take it as like guidance, because you are ultimately all responsible for that as well. So what is authenticity? I was looking to come up with a joke of sorts and, you know, be like really cool, because a good sermon supposedly starts with a joke always, but I just don't have any. I'm sorry. Maybe it'll come to me. Any suggestions in the future, just let me know. You know, email me the night before. Hey, Lon, I have a joke for your teaching. That'll be really helpful. I need all the help I can get. But I listened to a famous psychologist. Her name is Dr. Brené Brown. And she's not a believer, not that I know of anyways. And I don't refer to her as a person who is giving me biblical advice. She's a PhD in social work and psychology, I believe, and she breaks down a lot of concepts that are used by psychiatrists and psychologists in helping people go through different trouble in life, trauma, and she helps, I think, phrase things very easily and clearly. She says, authenticity is the daily practice of letting go of who we think we're supposed to be and embracing who we are. This definition is pretty good, in my opinion, from a secular perspective and from the worldly point of view. But I think it lacks, if I dig on a deeper level, who we are supposed to be and embracing who we are, right? If authenticity is truly the daily practice of letting go who we think we're supposed to be, so some sort of image that you are trying to portray to others, and embracing who we really are, then the question just logically is, who am I created to be? I think authenticity is really tied to identity and our identity in the Lord. Without using the word to describe the word, what is the opposite of authenticity? So not like inauthenticity, but other ways to describe that. For example, something that's false, fake, or counterfeit, right? If you see a painting like the Mona Lisa, which apparently is the top, number one painting to be faked, and there are so many counterfeits that in even in the 20th century, they're just always trying to find out, okay, there's a counterfeit in another museum that popped up. So there is like actual people, that's their full-time job to follow the painting of the Mona Lisa in the world and identify counterfeits, because the original one is obviously in the Louvre and they don't want to compromise that, right? So their counterfeits, they're pretty good, apparently. Some have really succeeded to make it look almost like the real thing. And I think we try to do that as well. We try to sometimes make it look like our Christian walk is almost like the real thing. So my challenge is today, as we're looking at this text, to unwrap that and to actually walk in the real thing. Walking inauthentically is exhausting. And I've done that before. I'm doing that sometimes, even on Sundays, frankly, because I don't want to, and it's. I'm not talking about like you have to share with everyone what's going on in your life and just, you know, continuously share the deepest thoughts and, fears and whatnot. But sometimes we just pretend like everything's fine. So pretending that everything is great in your life and your job, but it's actually not, that you're really struggling and you're not able to share with someone about that. Pretending like everything is smooth in your marriage, but in fact it's on the brink of collapsing. Acting like your business is flourishing and it's profitable, but it's really not. And some people do that with business. Some people lie to their boards of directors that everything's great, and we then see them filing for bankruptcy months later because they're not able to sustain whatever image that they were portraying to the leadership of their company. Pretending like you love your job just because you get a good paycheck from it, but deep down you're really unsatisfied because you know that God has been nudging you to do something else and you just haven't done that. So all these things create conflict in us if we walk with Jesus, if we walk authentically with Jesus, and if we daily approach him in prayer. Living a lavish lifestyle that you cannot afford, or maybe you can afford, but it doesn't satisfy you, but yet you're still trying to go at it because that's the image in the community that you surrounded yourself with. So you want to, you know, live it up to the standard that is around you. So if authenticity in our daily inner and outer life demands that there be harmony with our real inner person, who is that inner person supposed to be in harmony with? if we dig deeper, not just like, oh, be yourself, you know, be the true self that you're created to be and show the world the true self. Who is the true self and where are the standards? Where is the direction to be authentic? Where do we take it from? There's so many people that put out, you know, texts on this, like even in preparation of that, there's so many resources about how to live authentically. But how do we know what resources are trustworthy on this? Every source of advice we receive, just like we talked about in our Subverting series back in the fall here at Gallery, every word of advice is to be checked and compared to the Word of God. And yet, it's really important to find out who we really are. I really wish that for everyone and for myself as well, who we are created to be in Christ. And the answer lies not only in psychology alone, like, you know, doctors like Brené Brown and different therapists and psychiatrists that can help us walk through that, but it's a laying the foundation of our theology and then on top of that, putting psychology in practice, right? So who do we know Christ is? What do we know about him, about his life? And then how we can layer psychology on top of that theology? And I think our authenticity, like I said, it's tied to identity, but I think our identity is under attack, especially those that are even younger than me, so like 10 to 20 years younger. So I'm looking at, you know, some of the kids that I know, even in my family, I have nieces and nephews of that age, and it's just their minds are under attack. They truly are confused about who they are, and they don't know how to get out of it. Many of them struggle with identity, struggle with how to be in the school system and how to be different if they are already believers in Christ, or how to even find out what they believe, because there is an agenda that's pretty strong in the secular world for our kids. But also for ourselves. What are we teaching them, right? The older generation, like I mentioned before, all of you are teachers. It's just a matter of who you are teaching and what you are teaching in your daily life. Our minds are spoken to, even if we don't notice. We need to stay vigilant for our own sake and for the sake of the younger generation. So in finding our authentic inner selves, to find out who we really are, and then embracing our authentic inner selves, we actually have already certain pre-decided agendas that we may not even realize that are on our minds and hearts. They're narratives that have been fed to us by channels that we watch, by schools that we were going to or are going to right now, by our careers even, industries, and communities we're in. We're easily biased as humans overall. So to think that in searching for our authenticity and our authentic inner self, we're just going to look at a clean slate and really find out who we are in Jesus, we are kidding ourselves, because we cannot be looking at something with a clean slate. We are biased. And that bias is within us. It could be our sin. It could be our communities, like I said, and our opinions. It could be, you know, the type of family you were raised in. You believe something about yourself and something about Jesus based on what your parents taught you. And yet the world asks us and encourages us to be authentic. Tim Keller says, the only heroic narrative that we have left in our culture is the individual looking inside, seeing who they want to be, and asserting that against everyone else in the society. But by being more of who I am will not solve the problem of me becoming more authentic if the problem itself is who I am. That's a powerful statement. I don't think I could have phrased it any better. So instead of trying to phrase it any better, let's just sit with it and pause for a little. It's okay to be silent in the teaching. by being more of who I am will not solve the problem of my becoming more authentic if the problem itself is who I am. So my question to us today is, in searching for who we are, what are the barriers? Where are the barriers? Where are the standards? What is good and bad inside of you? Are we inherently good as humans? Because the world is encouraging us to look inside, right? And find something that we can be authentic with or live by that authenticity. But if we look inside, you all here are believers. You know about the sinful nature. You know that not everything inside of us is good. So how do you define what you are to follow, what's inside of you, and what you are not to pursue, because that's not good? And even the world has standards and definitions about that. Even if you're not a believer, you might have heard that, you know, being authentic and staying true to who you are is needed in the world. The world needs people like you, so just, you know, live authentically. But even in the secular standard, some things are really bad inside of us and they're not to be pursued. For example, and you know what I noticed, that it changes from generations to generations. So today, the year of 2023, and there are some things that the world does not want us to pursue, things like anger, aggression, jealousy. Those things are bad, even by the world standard, right? So if you're angry at someone, if you're beating someone up, and you're likely going to go to jail, like even by the world standard. However, some other things are accepted by the world in today's standards of 2023. For example, our desires for different types of sexuality. That's accepted and celebrated by the world. Be who you want to be. There's so many varieties of that offered to people and praised. But does that mean that we are to follow those as believers in Jesus? So the world is showing you a path. Walk in this type of authenticity. That's okay, and that's good, and that's great, in fact. But not in this type of authenticity. The anger, the jealousy, the fighting, and whatnot. You see that there is an agenda, right? You see what I am sharing with you, and it's not rocket science. You guys already know. You live in this world day to day. It's just a matter of us recognizing that there is a path that is shaped by the world, and that we are not really to follow that path, because God calls us not to be of this world, but to live in this world. But we are to follow His example, as He is the true way to authenticity. The other problem in following what the world offers is that today, in the year of 2023, these things are okay to follow, right? Like the different types of sexuality and desires. So much so that I think we're going down a dangerous path there with some of those, where some people are saying, and I think we have some kids in the room, maybe they're not. Some people are saying that they're sexually attracted to children, and that's the only way for them to be authentic. And if they're not allowed to do that, then they're not able to live out the true way that God created them to be. So right now, those people are called perverts. That's the year of 2023. But where is the standard going to be in 2030 or 2053 or however many years from now? Because 40 years ago, the standards were different. Now the standards are changing. So when you're looking for ways to be authentic when you're in the world, there is an ever-changing goalpost that you're never going to be able to follow to be truly authentic if you're going to just follow what the world is telling you to do and to be. So that's why many are living their lives confused by who they are today. Adults, teenagers, like I said. And there is just this vast majority of information online that is telling them that that's okay even. It's okay to be confused. There are genders that are created specifically for those who are not sure who they are. The names that are created for different types of genders and the fluidity of those. I mean, I can't even understand how many terms there are for that. So they're said, the teenagers are told that it's okay to be confused. You'll figure it out. Or you don't even have to figure out who you are. People are searching for different types of definitions of who they want to be. And many have settled for a mediocre life. Life far away from what God can offer you. God can offer them. The confusion is not something that God wants us to walk in. He wants us to have clarity of mind, clarity in our heart. He wants us to have peace and have it more abundantly. That is the opposite of confusion and the opposite of what the world is telling us is okay. Many are searching for authenticity in external things, like an experience, travel, certain lavish lifestyle and achievement, like sports even, a marriage, having a family. They think that that's who they are. They're just a wife, they're just a husband, and that's their authentic self. People are searching for definitions through the studies and things like the Enneagram, trying to find who they really are. And listen, I don't have anything against the Enneagram. It's a great tool, I think, to try to find out like your reactions and types and such. But if you tell me that, oh, I am this way because I am 4 or 2 or whatever you are, I'm going to challenge you on that. Because that's who said that? Who even wrote the thing about the Enneagram? Where are the sources? Where are the standards and the barriers? Right? So if we are using those things as tools to help us, you know, define a little more of who we are, maybe like to find yourself, what kind of career you fit in the most, or what kind of, reactions you have when you're angered or frustrated or whatnot, these are helpful tools, but they don't define who you are, and they shouldn't. And if you're settling for those definitions, you're settling for a mediocre way of living your authentic self, because that's not in Christ. Whenever something contradicts the Word of God, and how would you know that? You have to study what the Word of God says versus the thing that you're following. If something contradicts the Word of God, then we're putting it in the maybe toolbox and very carefully approaching it when we need certain tools in the toolbox. And we're not to use that as our description of self. The same with psychologists and therapists and overall psychology. I am all for using this type of help. I worked with therapists myself, and I found great help in walking through some of the darkest areas of my life and darkest times of my life. But if our therapists are not directing us to the authentic way of living according to the Word of God, we have to challenge that as well. I'm not saying you should challenge your therapist every single time. I'm saying when you go home and you take that information in, and you think about what kind of direction that they're giving you or advice that they're giving you, just like anything else that you would hear on the TV or in your community, check that against the Word of God and who He says He is and who He calls you to be in His image. It says in John 14, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Same chapter, further down, he says in verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all things. To your remembrance, all things that I said to you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We have tools like the Word of God, we have tools like Jesus and our knowledge about Him, and we have a powerful tool called the Holy Spirit, who is our counselor, who is our interpreter. So when we are confused about the things that we hear or the things that we think about ourselves even, let us go to the Holy Spirit and approach Him and say, I don't think I have any final thoughts on this because I haven't heard from you, Lord. Direct me, Lord, to the Word and the Scripture. Direct me how to even understand this type of context about myself. Help me, the Holy Spirit, because I need your help. These types of tools are tangible. They're not some kind of just theoretical thing that we may sometimes use. These are to be used on a daily basis because God knows we need these things. So He gave us the powerful helper to interpret the things that we're confused about. So, in addressing how to live and to be authentic, I have some scriptures that help us guide, should help us guide us in the search of our authentic selves. And it's not an exhaustive list. In your apps, you will find a large list of those scriptures that are truths about yourself. I encourage you to print those out or write them on your mirror or whatever, but we'll have some of those on the screen today. Ephesians 2:5, I am alive with Christ. Isaiah 54, I am far from oppression, and I will not live in fear. Romans 8:33, Colossians 3:12 say, I am chosen by God, forgiven and justified through Christ. I have a compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. 1 Peter says, I am born again, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for God's purpose through the living and everlasting Word of God. And last but not least on this list is Romans 6:11. In Christ, I am dead to sin. My relationship to it is broken and alive to God, living in unbroken fellowship with Him. So we're going to stay on this Romans 6 chapter for a bit. We need to let Jesus complete the work in us and guide us to our authenticity, not our desires and not what the world says we should follow. One of the most important things to do when we're looking to be authentic is repentance. Romans 6:11 says we are dead to sin. That is an accomplishment of Christ's death on the cross and His resurrection. We're not slaves to sin like we used to be before Christ coming to this earth to be Emmanuel, God with us. But we have the strength in God, in Jesus, to say no to sin. However, we still fall and we still get up and we still repent. Living in sin without repentance causes us to walk in rebellion with Christ. He graciously convicts us of our wrongdoing, not once, not twice, many times, and He does it over and over again. Like we sang in the song, His mercy triumphs over judgment. There's not a final list of sins. He's able to give mercy and have mercy on us, no matter how much we sin. But we, in our attempt to walk authentically, cannot walk in disobedience to God at the same time. Those paths lead to very different directions. So, first thing to use as an antidote to true and authentic living is continuous rebellion against the Lord. And in Hebrews 10, Paul says, should we keep on sinning if we have this grace, right? If we have this mercy, should we keep on sinning? And then he says, God forbid. Because that's just spitting in Jesus' face. Because we are walking as Jesus is, right? And we are then to ask Him to forgive us of these rebellious paths that we are sometimes lost in. Or sometimes we're willingly on those paths and we need to turn away and turn to God, because those things do not go together. You cannot be authentic and be who you are in Jesus if you're continuously saying no to him and pursuing something else that is not of him. And one of the other things I want to say to you is that living as your authentic self is not an end to itself. Like, you don't arrive at living authentically. Or you don't make it your life's whole goal. Like, you know, I'm 32 now. For the rest of my life, till I die, I'm going to be pursuing this authenticity, and that's it. Like, that's all I'm going to do. And I know God is going to help me. Sure, he's going to help you. But there's got to be a way for us to then shine our way of authentic living onto others, to lead others into living authentically, to help others using our testimony, our story, how we were confused and then we found Jesus and we found a way to be authentic, into leading others to him. So finding your way of living authentically is not the end goal. So the question to you today is, why is me living authentically so important to my own journey? To find out who you really are is very important in Christ. And then turning away from your, just looking at yourself constantly and to others, where can God use this? In my community, in my school, in my family, with those teenagers that I may be around that I know are confused. And Romans 14 says, "For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living." Let's be authentic. Let's ask the Holy Spirit who he thinks we really are. Let's use those scriptures that I placed in the app to study the truths about us, so we're not confused about what God already says about us. And then we learn on top of that, within his guardrails, how to live authentically within what he calls us to be and the image he created us to be. And my goal here, and I encourage you that that's a goal for you as well, is not to debate whether authenticity can be found within Christ or outside of Christ. There's no debate there. And if you're questioning that, come talk to me. Come talk to Pastor Ellis. It's just going to be a journey to figure that out. But the end game is in Christ, of authentic living is in Christ and Christ alone. And he not only gives us the freedom to live out who we are inwardly and outwardly, he actually provides direction of how to do that. He encourages us to be ourselves. He doesn't want us to fake it. He says, "Peace I give you, my peace I leave with you." He is all for that search for authenticity, because in that, you're going to be connected to the vine, connected to the true source, and continue to walk with him side by side, trying to figure out who you are, whatever age you're in. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for this wonderful time together, Lord, as a family of believers. I thank you, Lord God, for our space, that we're able to talk freely about such important things that you call us to be, to search for, Lord God, to be our authentic selves in your name. I pray, Lord, that our sin, Lord God, that causes us to walk against you or walk away from you and not run towards you, Lord God, I pray, Lord, that you just identify that within our hearts right now. Point it out to us Send your Holy Spirit, Lord God, as way of conviction, Lord God, to us to understand where we have fallen short of walking in who you want us to be, in the way that you created us to be. I thank you, Lord, that you have full authority, Lord God, in declaring truths over us. I pray that we believe those, Lord. I pray that we believe the things that you say about us. I pray that we find peace in searching for who we are in you. I pray, Lord God, as we are confused from time to time and we have to face whether we have to go to the way the world leads us to or the way that you lead us to go, I pray that we have the strength and the courage to choose, Lord God, through your Holy Spirit, through the help of your Holy Spirit, to choose and to walk in the way, boldly to walk in the way that you called us to walk in, Lord. I pray that as we are searching for ways to live authentically, that you help us identify how to shine those ways and those truths of authentic self to others, how to help others, Lord, that you put in our path, Lord. We accept with full heart, Lord God, what you have for us, the ways that you created us to be. And we ask you, Lord God, that you help us find them, Lord God, when we are searching for them, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only He can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.